Last week, we just came up to the station of Hisab. We talked about Tatayur al-Kutub, and when whatever we have is actually compared with what is in the higher book, which were somehow preserved for us in the Qiyamah form, and our books find their parallel there in the higher book. And then when we are given our books, the Hisab will start. And I said that Hisab is a process which starts with the books given to us, then the books opening, and then there are witnesses, then our defense, which is some sort of argument with God and others. We put up a defense, and then the witnesses will come, and then the judgment is made. However, we go through this now, but one thing should be borne in mind. This is not for God to take an account of what we have done. He already knows everything. It's for us to realize who we are. It's for us to be content with the judgment of God. Otherwise, God could have just made the judgment like that because he knows everything. It's for us to be content to realize who we are. As I said, that is alamun nafs. So we have to realize who we are. What is the, what do we have in store in our nafs for there? So now I said that it goes in a process, but it all happens at once. It's not just like a court that you have to take turns one by one. Although you go to it one by one, but it all happens at once. Just like here, we have all connections with God. All of us have relations with God on a one-to-one basis, but all of us have the same connection all at once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have time. Time has no meaning for him. Now, let's see how it happens. How are we taken to that position of Hisab? When our books are given to us, how are we taken? Now, the Quran says in Surah Qaf, وَجَاعَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ. Every soul will come accompanied by a driver. Now, driver here means someone who brings him. Sort of cop angel who brings people there. Washahid, and of course a witness which has the file with him, the book of every person. Now, remember what I repeat all the times. This is told in our language. It's not going to happen like this. And if you don't see it happening like this, do not criticize the Quran or me or whatever. It is put in our language. This is for a different world. A completely different setting. Now, every soul will come accompanied by a sa'iq, someone who brings him as a cop, as I said, wa shaheed, and a witness. And Allah is telling us on that day, لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You were certainly oblivious of this. You didn't know anything about these things happening, your book opening. You see the manifestation of what you did, what you thought in the Qiyamah form. You were completely unaware of this. We have removed your veil from you. That is the veil which was lifted, and we met Allah, and we meet the world which is close to Allah. And so your sight is acute today. وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ هَذَا مَا لَدَيَّ عَتِيدٌ. Qareen is the company. This shaheed, this witness, he says, he opens the file, the book, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is ready with me. This is what is ready with me. هَذَا مَا لَدَيَّ عَتِيدٌ. Maybe this is not a good translation. This is what I have in his file with me. And of course, this type of judgment is for the kafirun. The mu'minun are not brought in this irrespectful way, a cop bringing them or something like that. Remember, a mu'min always is respected, has honor. That honor never goes away. neither when on the moment of death, in the day of judgment, being brought like that. أَلْقِيَا فِي جَهَنَّمَ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَنِيدٍ. Now, the whole process is somehow summarized. Allah says after the file is open, the acts are provided, the two of you, that Sa'iq and Shahid, cast every obdurate, ignorant into hell, every hinderer of all good, transgressor and skeptic. Now, you see, this man doesn't need hisab, does it? I mean, this person, with all these attributes, doesn't need a hisab. Just throw him in the hell, into the severe punishment. Now, of course, every person is brought with their shaitan. Now, the shaitan says, it wasn't my fault. The man says, it wasn't my fault. He whispered, he seduced me. And the shaitan says, no. He just made the heart prepared in a way that I was seduced to go to seduce him. This is the way shayateen act, isn't it? If your heart is vile, is a place for evil, they are seduced to come to your heart. So, on the day of judgment, both the shaitan and man would say, we were seduced by each other. It was not our fault. When I talk about shaitan, I mean, I don't mean iblis. These are small shayateen which are around. As soon as they see a good harvest, the evil heart, they come. So, قَالَ قَرِينُهُ رَبَّنَا مَا أَطْغَيْتُهُ وَلَكِنْ كَانَ فِي ظَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. His companion, this is not the companion, the angel companion, this is the jinn companion, said, our Lord, I did not make him a rebel, but he himself was in extreme error, and he seduced me to go to him and to start whispering to him because of his very temptive sort of heart which tempted me to go to him. Now Allah says, do not wrangle in my presence, for I had already warned you in advance. The word is not alterable with me, and I'm not tyrannical to the servants. وَمَا أَنَا بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ. Now, I just mentioned this because this gives us a glimpse of how this things happen before Allah. After we meet him, after we are brought to his presence, we even start to wrangle with one another. Then they start to argue for their case. When people are brought before Allah, يَوْمَ تَعْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ. This is a very terrifying verse. Very terrifying in Surah Nahl. يَوْمَ تَعْتِي كُلُّ نَفْسٍ تُجَادِلُ عَن نَفْسِهَا. The day when every soul will come pleading for itself, arguing for his case, puts a defense for themselves, and every soul will be given fully what it has done, and they will not be wronged. Actually, Allah makes the judgment according to what you have. What you have is your judgment. Now, in that scene, in that court, then people try to bring every sort of pretext. For example, yes, there were things in that world which looked like your partners. They were your partners. We were worshipping them because of that. And Allah says, okay, call them. Where are those partners? Tell me. Bring them. And all these will somehow set a scene of remembrance and realization for the people. وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ أَيْ فَيَقُولُ أَيْنَ شُرَكَائِي. This is just in that moment of Hisab. The day he will call out to them and says, where are my partners that you used to claim? Again, as I said, this is not a sort of conversation. It is realities which happen. Those against whom the word has become due will say, our Lord, these are the ones who we have perverted. Now the shuraka come in. Pharaoh. Other shuraka who perverted people. This is about the shuraka of ins, the partners which we place beside Allah, the human beings. These are the ones we perverted. We perverted them as we were perverse ourselves. We plead for non-liability before you. Do not punish us because of them. Punish us because of ourselves. Do not punish us because of them. And of course, they are punished twice, because they have gone astray and have led people astray. In Surah An-Kabut, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّبِعُوا سَبِيلَنَا وَلَّحْمِلْ خَطَايَاكُمْ. The kuffar would say to the believers, follow us, your sin on our neck. Whatever sin you do, we take the liability for it. And Allah says, وَلَيَحْمِلُنَّ أَثْقَالًا مَعَ أَثْقَالِهِمْ. They will carry extra sin, but not their sins. Their sins, they have to answer for their sins, but they will take the extra sins for leading them astray. We plead for non-liability before you. It was not us that they worshipped. So what they were worshipping? They said, we were worshipping you. They said, no, you were not worshipping us. You see, this wrangling argument, because everyone tries to defend themselves. وَقِيلَ دُعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ. The idols, the angels, the whatever people used to worship beside God, they are told, because otherwise they wouldn't be content, they wouldn't be satisfied with the judgment. It will be said, invoke your partners. So they will invoke them. This is another situation. They think really the partners exist. And they call them, but they will not respond to them, and they will cite the punishment, wishing they had followed guidance. وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أَجَبْتُمُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The day he will call out to them and say, what response did you give to the apostles? But they cannot say anything. فَأَمِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَنْبَاءُ. يَوْمَئِذٍ, they were so far away from apostles, they don't know what to say. They are just dumb now. فَهُمْ لَا تَسَأَلُونَ. The news that they shall be blacked out from them, it means they do not know what to say at all. And they even do not ask one another, because they know it's useless. Another type of argument between the followers and those who were followed. Just quickly, we go through them, because these arguments are mentioned very frequently in the Quran. Together they will be presented before Allah. Then those who are weak will say to those who are arrogant, indeed we were your followers. So will you avail us against Allah's punishment in any wise? And the strong, they say, had Allah guided us, surely we would have guided you. What can we do now? إِنَّا كُلٌّ فِيهَا, as in another surah, the mustakbirun, when they enter hell, those who followed, they say, can you do anything for us now? They say, look, both of us are here. What are you talking about? If we could do anything, we would have done it for ourselves. It is the same to us whether you are restless or patient. Whether we are restless or patient, there is no escape for us. And this is, of course, the final statement of Shaitan, because on that day everyone would look at Iblis. So what do you say now? What should we do now? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْعَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. As easy as this. Shaitan will say, when the matter has been decided, Shaitan will say, indeed Allah made you a promise that was true, and I too made a promise, but I failed you. That's as simple as that. What do you want to do now? You want to take me to hell? I'm already there. You want to punish me? There is no punishment above the punishment of Allah. So that is the response. Again, here, this verse, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذَ الظَّالِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجُعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ. This explicitly mentions people try to put their sins on other people, their mistakes on other people. If you were to see when the wrongdoers are made to stop before their Lord, casting the blame on one another, the those who are abased will say to those who are arrogant, had it not been for you, we would surely have been faithful. And then those who are arrogant will say to those who are abased, did we keep you from guidance after you had come to you? No, you were guilty. Yeah, I mean, what's the use of all these guilts and blames and recrimination and all these things after we have completed what we have been doing in this world? Those who are abased will say to those who are arrogant, rather it was you, your night and day plotting when you prompted us to forswear Allah and to set up equals to Him, they will hide their remorse when they cite the punishment. And then, when all these arguments would not avail them, they start to lie before Allah. They swear that we weren't doing the things that you... Now, after everything is established and proved, then they find no other recourse but to lie to Allah. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمْ. On the day when we gather them all together, we shall say to those who ascribe partners to Allah, where are your partners that you used to claim? Then their only excuse will be to say, by Allah our Lord, we were not polytheists. Look how they forswear themselves, and what they used to fabricate has forsaken them. How these people can swear lies before Allah? How do you think they can do it? How is it possible for someone to stand before Allah, seeing all those signs, veils lifted, and then swear that we were not polytheists? They have no other choice. They just want to find a way to get out of this. And again, in Surah Mujadila, يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ. The day when Allah will raise them all together, they will swear to Him just like they swear to you. Supposing that they stand at something, look, they are indeed liars. This is when the personality is completely deformed and twisted. They think they can tell lies. Now, just imagine, if these people can tell lies to Allah when they are standing before Him, thinking that it's going to be helpful, it's quite pervert, isn't it? It's quite ignorant of them. When they go to hell, how are they going to coexist with each other? Absolutely, absolutely hypocrite people. Don't even imagine that you can live in hell for one day. Even if you can bear that, the punishment of fire, you cannot bear the company. The company is more evil than that fire of hell. Everyone tries to subdue others, lies, slanders, attacks, injuring each other. Of course, unfortunately, there is no death. I mean, they can just injure you to death, but you don't die there. So this is the evil company. I mean, if this is the position before Allah on the station of Hisab, and they tell lies, then you can imagine what they can do in hell. If it is their position before Allah, recriminating each other, blaming each other, just imagine when they go to hell, what they will do. They fight, they attack each other, they try to kill each other out of hatred. Now, if I think that it was you who brought me to hell, what hatred I would have towards you. And then what hatred the other person would have seeing my hatred. This is the sort of psychology, inshallah, when we talk about hell, we talk about the psychology of the people in the hell. Nothing like pervert people in this world. Absolutely upgraded. Upgraded perversity. Now that they are in denial, witnesses are brought forth. Allah would not force anyone to accept anything. people should accept it from the bottom of their souls. So, because they are in denial, witnesses are brought forth. Who are these witnesses? Angels, prophets, people, anything that could bear witness will be brought forth to talk until their denial has ended. For example, if the angels witness and they stop denying, probably there will be no more witnessing. After the angels have witnessed, if prophets witness and they stop denying, it's stopped at there. And it goes on and on until it comes to the limbs, isn't it? For kuffar, when they are on the verge of going to the hell, then Allah will make the limbs, because still they are in denial, will make the limbs to speak. And then they do not argue with God anymore. They argue with themselves. وَقَالُوا لَجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. This is very funny. Because they think that if for example, their skins did not witness, Allah wouldn't have known it. The deformation of the soul, ignorance, absolute ignorance, which they have brought from this dunya, through the barzakh, through the qiyamah, up to the hell, or down to the hell, not up to the hell, down to the hell, they have brought it all this way with themselves, and they tell to their skins, why are you witnessing against us? Because you are going to burn as well, just like I'm going to be burnt. So, قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah has made everything to speak now. And if they do not stop there, I think they stop there. There is no other choice. Because perpetually their limbs are going to speak then against them, and they will be dumb. وَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ. Then when they continue to lie, يَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ أَلَىٰ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ الظَّالِمِينَ. The witnesses will say, it is these who lied against their Lord. Look, the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers. Now, I want to reiterate, don't think that ordinary people go through this. Ordinary people, I'm not talking about mu'minun. Mu'minun are away from all this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَّ الْحُسْنَى أُولَٰئِكَ عَنْهَا مُبَعَدُونَ. Those for whom our good word has already passed, they are going to be quite far away from all these things. This is for very evil, pervert people who still lie before Allah. And ashhad, the witnesses will say, it is these who lied against the Lord. Look, the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers. Because if they continue to deny, they continue to go away from rahmatullah. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَىٰ هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. So how shall it be when we bring from every nation a witness, and we bring you as a witness to them? The prophets will be brought forth to stand as a witness. On that day, those who were faithless and disobeyed the apostle will wish the earth were leveled with them. And they will not conceal any matter from Allah. وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. Look, this is one of the witnesses that the Prophet will bear. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ غَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the Apostle will say, oh my Lord, indeed my people consigned this Quran to oblivion. Who are his people? Not us. We are his ummah. We are not his qawm. His qawm were Quraysh, who denied him and who rejected him, and he had to flee to Medina from them. So this is his qawm. His qawm did not accept the Quran, and he had to go to other people and other nations. Another sort of witness. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And when Allah will say, O Jesus, son of Mary, were it you who said to the people, take me and my mother for gods beside Allah? A witness. Because the followers may say that, our Lord, Jesus told us to worship him, and Jesus is brought forth. Did you tell them? And of course he will say, immaculate are you. It does not behoove me to say what I have no right to say. And eventual shahada is this on kuffar. Don't think that your limbs are going to speak against you. Never. Inshallah. Inshallah we'll die on faith. And if we die on faith, yes. Sorry, says what, Imam Sadiq?
Imam Sadiq, so wretched is he who is going to be condemned despite the Lord's mercy.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have said to him that I cannot understand how people will go to.
Yes.
In the context of this, it seems surprising that they can be people who are so far from the mercy of Allah in this world that they can carry over to the next world.
Yeah, Imam Sajjad also said it's surprising, isn't it? It's surprising. How?
How can people actually go to heaven and go to mercy? And you're saying that there are people who will. So.
No, he said it will be surprising to see people like this.
Yes.
But there are. There are, yeah.
So what is it in the wisdom of Allah that creates this evilness that in spite of everything that Allah has created, in spite of everything, his guidance, his prophets, even for those who probably do not believe because the guidance is not confident, surely they also will come to that understanding that they don't know what that's
from.
It's very difficult to conceive.
You do not believe in capacity of human being. Capacity of human being is enormous on both directions. This is how Allah has created us. On both directions. Now, you see, if human being is capable of going in this direction, in such a capacity, just imagine what capacity we will have for the other direction. It's unimaginable. Don't always think about the dark side of it. Think about the bright side of it as well. What capacity we will have. And unless we had these capacities to both directions, we wouldn't have been able to go up in the neighborhood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wouldn't have been possible for us. We are going to be placed in a very high station, and for that we should have all these capacities. And if we have it, then some people are like this. Yeah? And now, you want to tell me that the hadith is right and the Quran is wrong, or which one?
No, I just like to understand this in the context of what that being said.
Yes. It's good. As I said, one of the teachers of Imam Khomeini, the akhlaq teacher of Imam Khomeini, writes in his book that I cannot understand why there should be a hell. So, you are now like that teacher of akhlaq. You cannot understand as well. So, no worry. On the day when witness shall be given against them by their tongues, their hands, and their feet concerning what they used to do, on that day Allah will pay them in full what they deserve, and already they are taken to hell. Their due recompense, and they shall know that Allah is the manifest reality. Now, we talked about reckoning. Allah says that in Surah Inshiqaq, you remember, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, easy reckoning. What does easy reckoning mean? This is very difficult, isn't it? This is not easy reckoning. That means if you receive your book from your right side, none of these will happen to you. None of these will happen to you. You just see your Lord telling you that you have done all these and I forgive you, just go. That's all. No witnesses, no argument, nothing. The only thing you may argue, the only thing you may argue there is that, God, I don't deserve all these. God, I don't deserve all these. God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you forgiving everything? This is the only argument that you may have for those who فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. They will have a very easy. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ. Now the miserable is the one who has an adverse reckoning. فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. He will call for perishment. He would prefer to perish before standing in that position of hisab. This is adverse reckoning. In the Quran, su'ul hisab or adverse reckoning is mentioned in several places. For those who answer the summons of their Lord, there shall be the best of rewards. But those who do not answer him, even if they possess all that is on the earth, and as much of it besides, they would surely offer it to redeem themselves with it. So whatever on earth given to you, you will give it to redeem yourself from that reckoning. For such there shall be an adverse reckoning. Su'ul hisab. Usually su'ul hisab, when su'ul hisab is mentioned, it means that you do not make the right judgment. This is su'ul hisab. If you go to a court and the judge passes su'ul hisab, means that he doesn't make the right judgment. He is not just in his judgment. Therefore, many questions were put to the Prophet that what does it mean that Allah will give people su'ul hisab? He said, of course, it's not the way you think. It means that he meticulously will go through what you have done. That's the end of a person. If Allah meticulously goes through what people have done, if he wants to apply justice, that's the end of us. If he wants to apply justice, we are not afraid of God wronging us, isn't it? He doesn't wrong anyone. We are afraid of him applying justice upon us. Ya man la yukhsha illa 'adluh wa la yurja illa fadluh. The only thing which is feared of you is your justice, and the only thing that people hope from you is your grace, your fazl. And that's why the Prophet, peace be on him, said that no one would ever enter paradise unless a grace and mercy of Allah encompasses them. And the companion asked, Ya Rasulullah, what about you? He said, even me would not go unless that grace and mercy encompasses me. If he wants to apply justice, everyone is doomed to hell. So, su'ul hisab means that then Allah would apply his justice to them. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا عَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. If you fear that su'ul hisab, if you fear the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course you are prosperous. And in Surah Ra'd, and those who join what Allah has commanded to be joined and fear the Lord and are afraid of an adverse reckoning, for such will be the reward of the ultimate abode. Just fear that su'ul hisab, just fear the justice of Allah. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, about this verse, يَخَافُونَ سُوَ الْحِسَاب, he was again asked, what does it mean, سُوَ الْحِسَاب? He said, it is thorough examination and meticulous reckoning. If he wants to go through minute by minute, breath by breath of our life, and see at every minute, every second, every moment what we did, then of course we are doomed to destruction. Their evil deeds is counted on them, and their good deeds are not counted. Why their good deeds are not counted? Because the good deeds are actually outweighed by the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I gave you the ni'mah. You did all these good things without my ni'mah. Why should I count it for you? If he wants to be meticulous on that. Why should Allah count a good deed that I have done with his power, with his ni'mah, with his existence, with everything which belongs to him? Why should he count it if he wants to really be meticulous on that? And then, after all these, the judgment will come. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ وَوُفِّيَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ. And judgment will be made between them justly, and they will not be wronged, and every soul will be given fully what it has done, and is best aware of what they do. Now, is this the end of it? No, this is the beginning of it. Don't hurry, we are just going through a process. Now, the judgment is made, however, this judgment is not final yet. For some it's final. When we talk about sirat, we know there are two sirats. One sirat which goes to the bottom of hell, and one sirat which passes over the hell. Some people would go right to the bottom of hell from that sirat. وَلَا يَحْدِيهِمْ طَرِيقًا إِلَّا طَرِيقَ جَهَنَّمْ. Allah will not guide them to any sirat, to any path, unless the path of Jahannam. They go down. Some other group will go over a bridge or a path through hell, which would lead to paradise. This is the sirat. Now, there is still hope for those who have received the judgment against them. They have to go over this bridge to see what happens. Whether they can go over it, they fall, they don't fall. Now, of course, again, this is in our language. I will talk about it later. But before that, your actions... Now, forget about those who go to hell. They are not important anymore. They are already there. Those who are in between, those who have something to be reckoned, it should be weighed. What is the weight of it? If you have an action which sticks, the action of unbelievers do not stick. It just falls off them. You have an action which has sticked to you. You have it. Now you have to, it should be known that what is the weight of this action? What does it mean? The weight of action? I will talk about it shortly. The acts which seem the same, it's fine. Hell is not coming. Now, the acts which may seem the same may have different weights. Therefore, they have to be weighed. They have to be weighed. They should be put on the balance to see what is the weight of your act. This is for those who are on their path to paradise. Not for those who go to hell. The acts would not avail them at all. As the Quran says, وَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. On the day of judgment, we wouldn't set a balance for them because there is nothing to weigh. If you have something, then it should be weighed to see what is the value of it. The weight on that day is haqq. Real, reality of it. You have performed salat, but did you perform the reality of salat? Salat is establishing connection with God. How much did you establish connection with God? With what intensity? Of course, all of us pray. But is it justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says, okay, all of you are the same? It should be weighed. My salat should be weighed, your salat should be weighed, everyone else's salat should be weighed, so that it becomes clear how much haqq does it contain. And What matters is the amount of haqq that you will have with you. The amount of that connection with God that you have established through different means. So, intensity of haqq in an act, or the more the intensity of haqq in an act, the heavier that act will be. And as the Quran says, وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِنُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The weight on that day is haqq. As for those whose deeds weigh heavy in the scales, it is they who are the felicitous. As for those whose deeds weigh light in the scales, it is they who have ruined their souls because they used to wrong our signs. The heaviness goes up to him, and the lightness goes down away from him. So the mu'minun, who weigh very light, they have to go away. That means they have to go to hell. So the hell is not only for disbelievers, it is also for believers. But it is the weight of the acts which determine how far we have to go from Allah, how close we can go to Him. In contrast with physical gravity, you see, in the physical gravity, the heaviness goes down, the light goes up. Whatever is light goes up, whatever is heavy goes down. There, whatever is heavy goes up, haqq. Beside Allah, whatever light goes away from Allah. إِلَيْهِ يَسْأَلُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ To him ascends the good word, and the righteous conduct elevates it. The more you have righteous conduct, the more you go up. تُوزَنُ الْحَسَنَاتُ وَالسَّيِّئَاتُ وَالْحَسَنَاتُ تَقْلُ الْمِيزَانُ وَالسَّيِّئَاتُ خَفَّتُ الْمِيزَانُ As-Saduq, this is a report by Saduq. He says that the good deeds and the evil deeds are weighed. The good deeds are the weight of the balance, and the evil deeds are the lightness of the balance. So, as some exegetes have said, that we have a balance with two laps. They put the good deeds on one and the evil deeds on the other, and whichever weighs heavier would determine whether you are good or bad. However, here we have a different idea, isn't it? The evil is light. The more you put it, the more, the lighter it will become. Not the heavier. It's not like that. The heavy should go up. The light should go down. So it's not like, certainly do not imagine it's just like the balance you find in a supermarket. It's absolutely different. Now, we'll talk about this in a moment. I'm standing before the balance, huh? So according to the verse, there are mawazin for every person. Not mizan, mawazin, balances. So what does it mean that there should be balances? Now, mawazin is plural of mizan. That implies that for every act, there are one certain balance. There is one certain balance. That means salat has its own balance. Generosity has its own balance. And this makes sense, isn't it? It's just, it isn't just like something you an aggregate, they put whatever you have. No. There is a balance for your salat. There is a balance for your honesty. There is a balance for your mercy. All these are going to be weighed. So mercy would go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what is the intensity of mercy in every person? There should be a balance which weighs that mercy. So salat has its own balance, generosity has its own balance, humbleness has its own balance, and so forth. But what is the meaning of this balance? What type of balance can weigh or can measure generosity? What is it? Absolutely, just bring out this idea of balance with two laps or one lap or whatever. Absolutely come out of this view. As some very old mufassirun have actually, the literalists. Sometimes I think some of these people who thought in this way somehow lacked sort of understanding, really. I mean, why should we think in this way? Why should we compare that world with this world? And even in this world, if you want, for example, to measure the honesty of a person, you have the instrument, isn't it? A machine you have invented for it. You don't put them in the supermarket balance to weigh their honesty. Even in this world, you don't do that. How about that world? So, but what is the meaning of this balance? Faidah Kashani has an elaborate discussion on this in Tafsir al-Safi and in his Mahajjatul Bayza. A very elaborate and a very beautiful discussion. He says that scales are instruments for measuring. Initially, he says that the words that we use can be used for many different purposes. For example, you say a pen. This pen doesn't mean that the pen that they used in old days, for example, just which was a straw or something. You can have a pen, a laser pen. Of course, at his time, there wasn't a laser pen. But you can have a laser pen, you can have a ball pen, or whatever. Or the pen that Allah speaks about, Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun, it's an angel which writes whatever Allah decrees, and that writing is different from this writing. So he says that scales are instruments for measuring quantities and qualities. Hence, the form of the instrument would differ according to the subject of measurement. Thus, we have a scale which can measure weight like balance, length like ruler, time like watch, height like altimeter, circles like compass, angles like protractor, poetry like prosody, philosophy like logic. These are all mizan, isn't it? These are all balances. So when we talk about balance of people's action, we have to think what sort of balance is used there to determine. He then argues that the scale of human being on the day of judgment is a scale which can weigh the value of every person based on their beliefs, acts, and moral attitudes. The scale should be able to measure the amount of haq in every believer's acts, thoughts, and beliefs. This scale cannot be anything but the prophets and their successors. This is what he says according to hadith. It's the people with the same quality of attributes against whom these attributes are weighed. We are people. Our generosity cannot be balanced or judged or put in a scale with the generosity of an angel. It cannot weight. It's not of the same quality. Our honesty, our worship, our salat or whatever should be judged against salat of someone whose salat is 100% haq. Then it would determine how much of haq is there. Of course, that is one part of this balance. There should be a complicated sort of instrument which compares the two. Yes. This is, of course, Walaya will be judged as well and will be put in Mizan. Walaya would be actually weighed as well. You see, you may not have heard of an imam at all, for example, okay? But you may perform a salat, which is absolutely close to the type of salat they do, okay? So your salat weighs heavy. But you may every day say salam to a'imma alayhim as-salam and whatever, but your salat is actually very far away from what they did. It's not that sort of connection. It's not just a sort of claimed connection. It's a real and true. Everything is haq now, isn't it? Everything is now haq. Your connection should also be based on haq, truth. It should be a true connection, not just a fake connection that we claim that we have connection with them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The measure of the connection.
Yeah, that's true.
That should be your action and how close you are to the essence or ideal of what day.
Yeah.
It was obeyed.
That's right.
But don't put it in this theological terminology, because then we are confused. We have people with very high quality, and people with qualities that they don't need mizan. These people, anbiya and prophets, they don't need mizan. They don't need balance. They are the balance, actually. Just in the same way, they don't need witnesses. They are the witnesses. Okay? And they are the balance on that day. They are brought. You see, the verse which talks about Yawm al-Qiyamah is very interesting. It says, وَجِيءَ بِالنَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَى. Nabiyin and Shuhada are not with us on that day in Mahshar, because they are away from it. Okay? When the judgment is going to be made and witness is needed, then the prophets are brought to attest to whatever we did. Anyhow, I mean, we don't want to argue about the words. This is, I think we mean the same thing, isn't it? He thus concludes that فَمِيزَانُ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ هُوَ نَبِيُّ تَلْكَ الْأُمَّةِ وَوَسِيُّ نَبِيَّهَا وَالشَّرِيَةُ الَّتِي أَتَى بِهَا. The scale of every nation is the prophet of that nation, because this is not going to be only for us. It's for Christians, it's for Jews, it's for every nation who has been sent a prophet. Then the scale of that, because the acts performed by that prophet is the highest level, or the epitome of the haq of that act in that nation. So the scale of every nation is the prophet of that nation, and the wasi of that prophet, and the sharia brought by them. Sharia is also a balance, is a scale, isn't it? It's a good scale to judge whether we turned away from that prophet or we did not turn away from that prophet. Now, in Kafi, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, will set the balances of justice on the Day of Judgment. قَالَ هُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءُ وَالْأَوْسِيَاءُ. These are the prophets and awsiya. This is in Al-Kafi from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. And also, and in another riwayah, it says that نَحْنُ الْمَوَازِينُ الْقِسْطُ. We are those balances of qist. And the balance is not set for all, as I said. The balance is set only for those who have something to be weighed. If you have performed no salat at all, if you have performed, if you haven't been generous at all, if you haven't been honest at all, then what is going to be weighed? There is no weighing anymore. So this is for those who are going to go on the path to paradise, not on the path to hell. There is nothing to be weighed for them. We'll talk about that, inshallah, later. Okay. At the Arabic, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. They are the ones who have disbelieved in their Lord's signs and about meeting Him. Their actions will prove to be useless, and we shall not set up no weighing in for them on Resurrection Day. So, is Mizan a blessing or a curse? It's a blessing. Again, whatever you think which happens on that day is a blessing. The curse, there is no curse. The curse is because of us. We are the curse. And when Allah says that, لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ, means that they have become the curse themselves. They have to go away. If we correct ourselves, there is no curse, it's all blessing. This mizan is blessing. If you have something to offer, you would like it to be evaluated, isn't it? And that is very good, you are evaluated. And after everything is evaluated, now look at this hadith as well. وَعْلَمُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. This is a terrifying hadith. أَنَّ أَهْلَ الشِّرْكِ لَا يُنْصَبْ لَهُمُ الْمَوَازِينُ وَلَا يُنْشَرْ لَهُمُ الدَّوَاوِينُ وَإِنَّمَا يُخْشَرُونَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. Oh people, you should know that the scales will not be set for Ahlul Shirk, and books will not be opened for them. they will be brought to hell in groups. So for whose are these mawazi? It's for us. So we have to be a bit cautious, a bit careful in what we do. وَإِنَّمَا نُصِبَ الْمَوَازِينَ لِأَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. It is only for the followers of Islam, in its general term, religion, that the scales will be set and the books will be opened. So beware of God, O servants of God. It's all for you, it's not for kuffar. So be careful. And just one very beautiful hadith. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يوضع في ميزان امرئ يوم القيامة أفضل من حسن الخلق. Just a tip for the end of this session. What happened? Okay, now I translated it for you. I had translated it, I don't know where did it go. Nothing would be placed in the balance of a person on the day of judgment above good manners, husnul khul. If you have husnul khul, it would outweigh everything else, inshallah. Any questions? There is a proper life. We will talk about that life, if you call it proper life. Yes, yes.
It's not fire all the time.
No, no. You eat, you drink, you sleep. Even you need wives, husbands, and these things. You would have wished to be in the fire all time, not in the company of those wives or husbands or people. It's very bad. Well, and it talks about other things as well. Inshallah, we'll talk about hell. Inshallah, we'll talk about hell. Yes.
When does shafa'ah?
Shafa'ah, when you are on, when you pass the sirat. You see, in all these procedures, there is no shafa'ah, yet you are on your own. Then at the end of the day, at the end of the tunnel, there is some light. It's ziyara, not shafa'ah. Just to give you some strength of heart. Yeah. Yes. Sorry, on what? Good manners. Husnul khulq.
So, does that imply that everything we do in life,
yes, of course, yes. Well, I mean, that's makarim al-akhlaq, yes, yes. And makarim al-akhlaq, of course, our salat is part of makarim al-akhlaq. But husnul khulq is different, is the way you communicate with people. And in hadith, we have husnul khulq nisfuddin. Half of the faith is husnul khulq. Yes. Not raised. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم. We call every people or every nation by their imam. Now, of course, there are different explanations of that, but I mean these explanations make it very clear that every nation will be weighed against their prophet or their imam or whatever. Yeah.
There's a link to that.
Yes, there is a link. Yes, yes.
Would the weighing person be different for eternal
late Muslims as opposed to later, and also if they were born in an Islamic country or in a non-Islamic country, would there be an adjustment for those sort of things?
There's adjustments for everything. For everything, yeah. In the justice of Allah and His wisdom and knowledge, you cannot imagine what sort of adjustments are going to be there. Certainly, of course. Any else? Okay, thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum. Just a quick bit here. The point on justice was very interesting. Modern technology tends to pride itself over night goggles and satellite photographs and whatnot. But to be seeing a sense of justice to a level that even measures the intentions of people, the truthfulness of their faith, is amazing. So you can imagine how far technology has still to go to get to that level of justice. Now, that is the distant one. The more close issue that we're dealing with at the moment is my apologies first about the slight glitch in the presentation. We were trying to include Ara's sort of face while the PowerPoint was coming in as well. So the best we've got at the moment is him in color and the PowerPoint in black and white. So if there's any thought on that, do let me know. For next week...
thank you for that.
You think so?
Otherwise, it would have been very obvious.
Awesome. Next week, our neighbors are having their Diwali, and that runs on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Just a request, if you can allow for time, just start off a bit early. If we get any updates on their timings, I will email it across to you. But just take it that there is going to be traffic right across the road here from both sides. So allow for time. If you arrive here earlier, inshallah, we'll pray together. Otherwise, we can start the class at normal time, inshallah. Any questions on either of these? No? There will be fireworks out there. So I imagine a few students may just want to go and join it there. But that's what I'm told. Otherwise, they normally have music or whatever. But we'll have our windows closed, so inshallah, we should be okay. Yeah? Awesome. Thank you.